This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, let me put this information out here real fast. So earlier this week, for those of you that missed it, earlier this week, Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines was the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He served as chair for that hearing, and he spoke with Michael Regas, the nominee to be the Deputy Secretary of State for Management and Resources, and they talked about the need to decrease America's dependence on Russian palladium, and other topics as well. But I mentioned that I've heard that that some of the Stillwater miner folks had been called back to work at the Stillwater mine, because remember last year hundreds got laid off. The Joe Biden EV mandates undercut their markets for their minerals. And then, of course, the Biden regime still allowed the Russians to dump palladium into the American market here. And, you know, even though Joe Biden was pretending to be tough against Putin in the midst of the war with Ukraine. And so those two factors combined led to hundreds of miners being laid off. And so I threw it out there that I've heard that, you know, at least it sounded like good news to me that some Stillwater miners were called back to work. And then I thought, well, what the heck? Let me check in with Heather McDowell. She is the top staffer with the Sibanye-Stillwater mine. We had her on as a guest a while back. She does a great job. I think she heads up their government and public affairs, if I remember right. So I thought I would shoot her a quick note, especially because one of the things that Senator Steve Daines talked about with the Deputy Secretary of State is the need to stop allowing these Russian palladium imports to be dumped into our market. And so the Deputy Secretary of State, you know, basically talked about the way I, you know, read it was he basically says, hey, yeah, this is something that we can look at here as President Trump looks at a broader sanctions package against Russia. You know, that President Trump has now given a 50-day deadline to Putin to, you know, to end this war. He's got 50 days and then, you know, a whole round of sanctions could go into to effect here. So I checked in with Heather McDowell, and she says, we haven't increased employees at the mine, but we are working on getting tariffs on imported Russian palladium, and the market for palladium is moving up a bit right now, which is good. So the markets are starting to move back up when it comes to palladium, so that could be good news for the Stillwater mine. They are also working to try to get tariffs on the imported Russian palladium, but I would imagine that you know could probably be on hold until this 50-day deadline that Trump put out earlier in the week. But you never know. Trump is the master of surprise when it comes to playing tough on the foreign policy stage. So basically any of the miners that have been called back to work are basically replacing somebody who left in the last few months, right? Because there was kind of a stay-behind element of miners keeping things up and running after all the layoffs. And so if some of those folks left for other jobs, et cetera, other, you know, the previously laid-off miners were now called in to fill those jobs. So anyway, that's the latest on that story. All right, quick break. Back with Montana Talks right after this.
It's July 18th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Caviar Day. Normally associated as a delicacy of the upper crust, caviar is the fish eggs of the sturgeon. The day is also meant to raise awareness to the survival and conservation of the species. The United States was once the leading distributor of caviar, exporting nearly 600 tons a year, until roughly 1900 when the practice was banned due to over-harvesting. Also on this date, in 64 BC, the Great Fire of Rome took place during the time of Emperor Nero. Legend states that Nero played his violin as the city burned. And in 2013, the city of Detroit, Michigan, filed for bankruptcy, becoming the largest U.S. municipality to file for reorganization. At the time, the city had an estimated $18.5 billion in outstanding liabilities. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the first American to orbit the Earth, astronaut John Glenn, born in 1921. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, well, on Thursday's Montana Talks, I was telling you guys, hey, we should be getting a phone call here from Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter any minute. We were hoping to have him join us on the 9 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, but, of course, duty calls, so he's got a very important day job, and so we always know hey, we'll take any time we can get with Sheriff Slaughter, but we also know if he's got to get pulled off for sheriff duties, given anything that might come up in the day. So, but here's the great news: we've got a very special guest now with us here for Freedom Friday. Our friend George Blackard has taken the day off, but we've got Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter now with us. Sheriff, thanks for joining us on this Freedom Friday.
Hey, no problem, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's a Friday, and man, we live in Montana, so let's start the day with a good foot forward, right?
Absolutely, and it's summertime in Montana, which is why everyone moves here until they find out what winter is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, well, that's kind of a funny thing. So why do people move to Montana, right? We could do a whole hour just talking about that. Who was I talking with? I was talking with Tim and Savage, you know, way out there on the North Dakota border. And I shared one of my favorite quotes is, anybody can love the mountains, but it takes a soul to love the prairie. And Tim and I were joking about that, how, you know, all these people will come to Montana and then, you know, they'll say, oh, I'm in Montana. They're like, where's the mountains? And it's like, you know, oh, you took some nursing job, some traveling nurse job at the hospital in Plentywood, and they had pictures of the mountains in Montana when they recruited you for the job, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. That's it's funny you should bring that up. We're always talking about that in our recruiting, and you're always talking about how do you appropriately represent what people get into and where they're going. And, you know, because you always want to make it seem way better than it is, you know, and then when they get there, they're like, this is not what the brochure said.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, of course, you've got a beautiful view of the mountains. They're a little ways away, though, but a beautiful view of that Rocky Mountain front. And Great Falls is nice and centrally located as well. I was just talking with a friend who was just fishing with a bunch of buddies just there south of you. And you know, it was too hot, so the fishing wasn't that great, and there were too many bugs for the fish to eat at night, so they weren't biting on any of the things they were throwing out there. But I told them, I was like, who cares? You're floating the river, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's funny you brought that up. The one thing that Cascade County has is amazing fishing. There's, you know, and then when you get up north of us and you go to, like, you know, Valier and, you know, Lake Francis and Tiber and you got Holter. I mean, the fishing is phenomenal around here. And it's, if you know what you're doing, or you have a buddy that knows what they're doing, you're going to catch fish here. It's great.
That's the best. That's the easy. That's what I was like. Just find the buddy who knows what he's doing. And then, that's the way to roll. That's why, like, when I got to tag along with the Veterans Meat Locker crew and go halibut fishing up in Alaska, man, it was a blast. Cause we had a guide who knew exactly what he was doing. Him and his family live in Alaska for the summer, and then they come back to Roundup for the rest of the year. But man, they get you right on the fish. They know exactly where to go and what to do. And, man, we hovered over this, like, school of rockfish. And it was, man, it was crazy. We were just reeling in fish left and right, left and right, left and right. It was one of the best times of my life.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my favorite thing is you could buy a boat or you could have a buddy that has a boat.
There you go. There you go.
And then life gets even better.
Hey, speaking of that, have you ever been to Yellowtail Dam? Have you ever been on Bighorn Canyon?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you got a buddy with a pontoon boat, so we got to get you out there one of these days. It's incredible. I shouldn't even be talking about it on the radio because, you know, you can be out there in the middle of the week and there's, like, nobody out there. Oh, man. Yeah, there's so much of Montana to explore. It's crazy.
Oh, I've lived here my whole life. And there's still numerous places I've never been to. And it just blows your mind. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, I guess eventually we should talk about what I was going to get you on the show to talk about here. There was this headline, KRTV.com, yesterday that caught my eye. Several ICE detainees are being held at the Cascade County Detention Center. So I ended up talking a little bit about that story yesterday on the show. But there were several other ICE and immigration-related stories in the news. The Whitefish Border Patrol Station agents just busted another six illegal aliens in the Whitefish Spokane sector, essentially. And then there was some down in Gallatin County, there's an illegal alien who was arrested for attempted deliberate homicide after stabbing a man in the neck at a warming shelter. And then now some of the liberal folks on the Whitefish City Council, apparently they're rethinking their relationship with Border Patrol. That's some crazy Seattle, San Francisco stuff right there, if you ask me, Sheriff.
Yeah, I don't know why. I really struggle with why this issue is political. I really do. I mean, illegal immigration has been illegal for, geez, as long as I can remember. I don't have the actual, like, you know, history on when all these federal laws were created. And the other thing about immigration is it's a power that's given to the federal government exclusively. And there's a lot of powers that we start arguing about of, you know, is that a right of state or is that actually a federal control? Because we always talk about, like, federal overreach and how the feds...
And this is one of the easiest ones. Yeah, this is one of the easiest ones. Hold that thought. Sheriff Slaughter, got to take a quick break here. We'll come back to Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, talk about the ICE detainees and more right after this.
Sports update.
A change atop the NFL Players Association. I'm Jared Max. Late Thursday night, Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned from his post effective immediately as executive director of the NFL Players Association. He led the union for 2 years. The 59-year-old has been wrapped up in recent controversies regarding professional allegiance, potential conflict of interest, secrecy. Howell was not pushed out of a job reportedly. In part, he stated, "Our members deserve a union that will fight relentlessly for their health, safety, financial futures, and long-term well-being. It's clear that my leadership has become a distraction to the important work the NFLPA advances every day. In the coming days and weeks, the NFL Players Association Board will meet to determine its next steps." Lloyd Howell was on the job for 2 years after DeMar Smith led the Players Association from 2009 to 2023. Before Smith, it was Gene Upshaw. Wide receiver Mike Williams shocked the Los Angeles Chargers Thursday when he announced his retirement at age 30. Williams had played 7 seasons with the Chargers before he got released ahead of last season and went on to play for the Jets and then the Steelers. Williams had a pair of 1,000-yard receiving seasons early in his Chargers career. Recently, he had been placed on the physically unable to perform list because of an undisclosed injury. Pittsburgh Steelers pass rusher T.J. Watt agreed to a 3-year contract extension worth $123 million. At $41 million per season, Watt becomes the NFL's highest-paid non-quarterback. NBA Damian Lillard, going back to the Portland Trailblazers, the team he spent his first 11 NBA seasons with. Waived by the Bucks after 2 years in Milwaukee, Lillard returns to Portland, where with combined salaries from the Blazers and Bucks, he'll earn $70 million next season. It's Friday, which means the Major League Baseball All-Star break ends. All 30 teams scheduled to play. One game this afternoon in Chicago between the Cubs and Red Sox. You can listen to and follow the Fox Sports Podcast at foxsports.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Mike.
Thank you.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. The headline that caught my eye, definitely want to get to that story here. But first, yeah, Sheriff Slaughter, you were talking about how, look, there's a lot of things where we can debate, you know, what's the role of the federal government? What's the role of the state? What's the role of the county? What's the role of the city? Should government have a role at all? When it comes to illegal immigration, this is one of the easiest things to have an answer for, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm probably one of the most pro-immigration people you'll ever meet. You know what I mean? I totally believe in, you know, that we're a country of immigrants, and that's how we were founded. And I see all of the arguments for immigration. I think it's absolutely necessary for our nation, especially how it was founded. And I'm completely all for it. But the thing about it is that the one thing people have forgotten, and I think the last 4 years of Joe Biden basically not enforcing any laws related to immigration, has created the cartels saw this vacuum, and they've exploited all these people trying. I mean, there are legitimate people trying to run from evil governments and evil people and trying to get away from the cartels. But the cartels have exploited this into a massive drug and human smuggling operation. And they are, you know, probably the biggest organized crime in the world. They're probably, I think statistically, they might be one of the biggest militaries in the world. And they are now using all of these people, you know, and they're getting sold into slavery, various forms, whether it's work or sex slavery and all this stuff. And we have to stop that. That is our fundamental responsibility for mankind, is to stop that type of behavior. And the answer is not open up the doors, because we saw what happened. The cartels made billions of dollars off human smuggling, you know, in the prior 4 years during the Biden administration. I mean, it was game on. And we as a country need to remember that when we don't enforce our laws and we're not a nation of laws, the, you know, criminal organizations and criminal enterprise exploit us. You know, because unfortunately in America, there's a lot of people who have a lot of greed, and they're going to, you know, exploit it on our side of the border, too. So when we stop this, we stop it on both sides. And that's a responsible thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, to your point about, you know, just to your point about some of the best people that I have met across Montana when I take the show on the road are legal immigrants to this country. First and second generation in particular, many of them who fled communism. And when they talk about important issues here in Montana and important issues in this country, they say, look, we've got to fight for freedom here. We've got to stand for freedom here, because there's nowhere else to flee to. And so you think about it, like, to use your point here, is like, okay, yeah, because look, true refugees, true asylum seekers, like, yeah, we have always wanted to help those people as a country. But what we've seen is an abuse of that system now, to where they just let anybody into this country. So if you were a true refugee, if you were a true asylum seeker from, say, Venezuela, you wanted to flee the socialists of Venezuela that were targeting you and your business and your family. You wanted to flee the Tren de Aragua gangbanger thugs that were targeting you and destroying your communities in Venezuela. And so let's say 10 years ago or so, you got to flee, and you sought asylum in the United States of America. And then what did Joe Biden and John Tester do in the last 4 years? They let the problem follow you here. They brought the socialists to America. They brought the drug cartels to America. They brought Tren de Aragua. So if you were a true asylum seeker, they let that which you were fleeing follow you right here into our own country.
Yeah, that's actually really well put, Aaron. I mean, that's a very good point that is rarely discussed when we discuss this stuff. The other issue, too, that I really hope our federal government works on is I hope they make a path to legal citizenship that isn't so daunting. One of the things that I think is, and I'm not talking about vetting. I'm not talking about making sure they're not letting, you know, criminal organizations into our country sneaking past. I don't mean that. The vetting has to be very, very thorough. But, you know, I know people, you want to meet people who are mad about legal immigration. It's exactly what you said. It's the legal immigrants who are in our country. They will be the most fierce and most angry because they know all the process. I know an immigrant who came into this country, and it took 10 years to get citizenship. 10 years.
Yeah.
And several thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And so what they do is they're paying their fees. They got to work. They pay some more of their fees. They do more, all the stuff, and eventually they get it 10 years later. And, you know, I think there's a couple things that we could do to make it work better. Is we could have a better process. And then on top of that, though, you know, you want to see people get angry, talk to the legal immigrants in our country about illegal immigration.
That's right.
They're the most passionate about this issue of anybody.
Well, so yesterday, I told you about this during the break. So yesterday during the show, here we go down another path here, but it's this important one. So yesterday during the show, we get some guy call in, and he's like, and, you know, he was saying, well, who cares about this rainbow flag flying over these government buildings? And then he said, well, why does the flag matter anyway? Why does a flag matter anyway? And that led to some great phone calls, some great messages talking about the, and you and I were talking during the break, man, that American flag is so important that it's hard to put into words the sacrifice behind that flag and why that flag is so significant and so important. But one of the messages that came in very early on after that phone call came in from Robert, and he gave me permission to use his name, his last name here, Robert Otañez. Otañez. And I was like, well, that sounds like a Hispanic last name. And I look it up. Yeah, it is a Hispanic last name. And, oh, yeah, he's a second generation, American here, of course, but his folks met in L.A. He says, we are a MAGA family, and we escaped California in 2021 after I was injured / disabled from the, I'm assuming, the Los Angeles County Fire Department here. So thanks for your service there, Robert, as well. But Robert sent a message where I was talking about the whitefish story, and I said, hey, maybe we need to do a rally in front of the Border Patrol station in Whitefish, letting those men and women know that we support them. And the first guy to respond said, yes, let's do that. Let's get out there. Please have a rally in Whitefish. My family, friends, and I will attend. And, you know, his family is of Mexican descent, and they want to get out there and show support for the Border Patrol.
Absolutely. I see that all the time, you know. And the thing that I think is so tragic about all of this is how when the cartels have exploited the Hispanic culture in Mexico and the way that they've torn the children away from their homes. I mean, most Hispanics that I know are, and I'm not making this as a religious statement, it's just my observation, are good, hardworking Christian people. I know very few of them. They've got a really tight family dynamic. Their culture, you know, from the time you're born to the time you die, your family takes care of you. There's no, you know, go live in a old folks home culture. None of that. I mean, it's a very, very strong and very, very proud culture. And the reason they come to America was and I think we'll get back there, but we used to provide an opportunity for them to live out their religion and their culture without fear. And
economic opportunity through the free market enterprise and for an entrepreneurial culture, hardworking entrepreneurial culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we ever lose that, then yeah, I mean, you know, and let's go back to your flag comment. I mean, obviously, I know what it stands for. I have it tattooed on my right arm. But that's a reminder to me every day that I'm just blessed to be here. And you know, it's funny. God just blessed me one day when I was born in this country, and not everybody has that chance. And it's unfortunate that they don't. It's really unfortunate. And I love your point the best, Aaron. I think your point is the best point made about this that I've heard. Is a problem when we let everybody in the door. We took all of the criminals and all the organized crime and all the terrorist sleeper cells and we brought them into America. And right now, inside the boundaries of the United States, those same, as you call thugs, are selling and running and hurting and murdering those same citizens who fled to this country.
Yeah.
And we allowed it. We as a country, as a nation, allowed that to happen.
And the same people that claim to be more compassionate to migrants are the ones that dumped these criminals to basically target migrant communities and Native American communities and more. How many of these criminal illegal aliens are filling up the Cascade County Detention Center even right now?
It fluctuates a little bit. I think we've had as many as 10. I think today we have 5. It really fluctuates because they come in on basically a 48-hour hold, and then they get sent to another, I think it's a facility in Idaho, but they send them sometimes different facilities for their due process. So we're just like a temporary holding facility. So it really fluctuates fast from day to day to day. You know, I think yesterday it was 4, or the day before yesterday it was 4, today it's 5. It just, I mean, the needle moves a lot. I've been talking to some leaders up in Iceville, and I know that Tom Ullman is really pushing hard on enforcement in Montana. One of the interesting things that is happening, and I know you're up on this, Aaron, because you're savvy about this, but when you talk to people like Stacey Zinn, the retired DEA agent, you know, she's really sharp on this too. Cartel is moving all their operation to the northern border now. Mm-hmm. They can get into Canada easy.
Yeah.
And one of my big fears is, you know, just like the southern border was never prepared for it, the northern border is not prepared for massive cartel activity.
Yeah, they've seen the shift. Allie Bradley from News Nation brought the national spotlight. Speaking of Whitefish, she went basically on patrol with the Border Patrol out of Whitefish. And, of course, they ran into illegal aliens while she was on patrol with them. All right, Sheriff Slaughter, hold that thought. I've got to take a quick break here. We'll come back to Sheriff Slaughter after this. Yeah, thankfully, he's got some extra time for us here this morning. So we'll take as much of his time as he's willing to share.
The only place morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Before I go back to Sheriff Slaughter here, I got to play this soundbite from Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt, you guys remember him. He used to have a great radio show that would air on KJJR in the early mornings in the Flathead. Great guy. And then other stations across the state, I'd imagine, at different times as well. But this ties in with exactly what the sheriff and I have been talking about here with, you know, refugees or asylum seekers or people who came here legally to escape communism in particular. But this is kind of what started it. As this Kami Mamdani is being exposed more and more on a daily basis, the Democrat candidate for mayor of New York, more of his ideology is being exposed. There was a clip. John Levine shared this on X, and the Daily Wire has a story where I think the Western Lensman on X refers to the Kami Mamdani as a true silver spoon socialist. A true silver spoon socialist. So this is the Kami Mamdani saying, well, I didn't worry about running for mayor because, you know, I don't really need to work because if I run out of money, you know, mom and dad have all the money in the world, so I don't need to worry about running out of money. Listen to it.
I worked until January, and then I took time away from my job. And one of the major reasons I could do so was because I knew that if I ran out of my savings, my family would be able to support me.
Yeah, so there you go. A true socialist, you know. Once he runs out of his own money, he goes after somebody else's money. Katie Pavlich shared the Margaret Thatcher quote, "The problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money." This is what Hugh Hewitt had to say. He was on with Sean Hannity last night talking about the Kami Mamdani.
Oh, my thought is first, I'm laughing along with you at Comrade Mamdani. I think that is going to be pretty much 90% of my content for the next 4 months because he's such a radical and Democrats are obliged to embrace him. And so, you know, we've both been in the radio business a long time. The callers will talk about Mamdani forever. I just can't believe New York will embrace him. But you just touched on a serious point. When Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush brought down the Soviet Union, thousands and millions of people fled as soon as they could to the West because they wanted to get a taste, just a little bit of capitalism. When I bet there is a Cuban American listening right now who descended from refugees of Castro, as you just pointed out, who are not incredibly upset with the idea of Comrade Mamdani running New York and talking about the commodification of housing and the abolishment of private property and why do we need prisons. They've been there. They know the family history. It's funny to me. It's funny to you. But it's deadly serious to the people who live in New York. Thank gosh. It's not my problem. It's going to be your problem, Sean.
Deadly serious, of course, is right, especially given how this often plays out and when they talk about defunding the police, et cetera. All right, Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, if you want to react to that, great. If not, I'd love to go back to this ICE detainee story and what you're doing to work with ICE at the Cascade County Detention Center.
Yeah, I mean, the beautiful thing about being in a republic and let me very much clarify what I just said. The fact that we live in a republic, not a democracy, which really frustrates me. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
And the sad part is I even hear it from conservatives, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, this is not smart. The beautiful part about it is this, you know, the mayor of New York will run his, you know, they elect him. He will attempt to push his policies, and he'll likely get fired. And the people will fire him. And, you know, that's the beauty of it is there are consequences. You know, and that's the thing is you just got to sometimes, if people vote for people, you know, okay, well, you're going to get exactly what you asked for. And we'll see how it goes. I'm sure it won't last long.
Sometimes people got to hit rock bottom before they finally get turned in the right direction. And, you would think that people would finally turn from their ways and stop electing people like this. But look at Chicago, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's always going to be areas that have, you know, different thinking than other places. But unfortunately, as we, you know, even we saw in California, California is becoming extremely conservative right now. The margins are getting tighter, you know, people are getting tired of it, and they're losing their votes from the House of Representatives. And, you know, that's what happens. That's the natural consequence of you know, pushing people too far.
Which is crazy that it's getting more conservative because it seemed like most of the good conservatives finally left and finally got the heck out of there. But maybe things are getting so bad that even those remain, they're probably saying, where did all our friends go? This place is getting even worse. Maybe even some of the people that might have leaned a little more Democrat before are now saying, oh, no. And they're shifting to the right as a result. So let's talk about this. Yeah, more about this ICE detainee story. So go back here, what, it was a couple months ago, I think now. Gallatin County Sheriff Dan Springer was, you know, has been doing a great job down there as well. And he was working with ICE. He ended up crafting a great agreement, is what it sounded like, where it would be good financially for Gallatin County. Gallatin County was going to be forced to jail these illegal aliens anyway on these detainers. But the sheriff got a good deal with ICE, good financial deal. And yet the Democrat county commissioner said, nope, because, you know, they wanted to bow down to the woke mob that politically runs the Democrat Party. It looks like kind of you're working on something similar in Cascade County. Is that accurate?
Yeah, no, that's correct. We're in negotiations right now to obtain an ICE contract moving forward. You know, we're currently holding them under our U.S. Marshal contract. You know, and here's the thing about this. This is nothing new. Sheriffs all across the state of Montana have held ICE detainees forever. The only reason that it seems like it's new right now is because for so long the federal government wasn't enforcing it. So there wasn't a, you know, really a need for it anymore, or as much, I should say, you know, because basically they were just doing selective enforcement. Where now, you know, the federal government is following the law and carrying out, you know, what the people voted for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was the thing. I remember when I was talking with Gallatin County Sheriff Springer, he was like, you know, they keep saying, and you had, you know, highly politically charged rhetoric, not very significant legal rhetoric, but highly politically charged left-wing rhetoric coming out of the Gallatin County attorney, also a Democrat. who was, and they were talking about, well, due process. And the sheriff's like, I've been here for 30 years. This is the process.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, I love Sheriff Dan Springer, great friend of mine, super good guy. A story for a longer time, but he's kind of the guy that got me into law enforcement. Just a great, great human. And, you know, he's spot on. It's amazing to me how the Democratic Party, in the 4 years that Biden was president, tried to change the narrative. And basically what they were saying is illegal immigration is legal. And you'll hear, you know, AOC and all these people change the narrative to they're asylum seekers, and they use all this language that really, you know, hyperbole to try to justify people doing an illegal act. You know, I mean, it's like, well, that person's not stealing, they're hungry. You know, I mean, people come up with all these, you know, crazy outlying things to try to justify behavior that is criminal behavior. And they tried to change the narrative so far in the last 4 years that it's basically, this is what you get. Well, you can't do it. They don't get, there's no proper due process. There's, you know, all that type of stuff. And it's like, no, this has always been the process. Nothing's changed. Everything is the process it was. It's just now being enforced.
Yeah. Well, and that's also because, I don't know if you ever watched the Netflix series Stranger Things. The trailer for season 5 is out now, apparently. But in this show, Stranger Things, they had this, what's known as the upside down. And for the last 4 years, we were living in the upside down, and Donald Trump is now getting us right side up in so many different ways. But it was like, yeah, a boy is a girl is a boy. What's right is wrong, and wrong is right. And the process, which has been in place forever, is now, you know, they're saying it's not due process. And so it's just because they just want to completely eliminate truth. This Kami Mandani in New York, he was even saying that, well, police shouldn't be showing up for domestic violence calls.
That's the most laughable thing I've ever heard. You know, and obviously, you know, this whoever this guy is has never been in a black and white patrol car out there dealing with the public, never seen families in crisis. You know, the number one cause of homicide in America is domestic violence.
Mm.
The number one cause.
Wow.
So you're going to sit there and tell me we're not going to enforce domestic violence? Well, okay, well, you're just going to allow people to kill each other. All right. You know, I mean.
Well, and I also wonder, is part of that his radical Islamic fundamentalist beliefs starting to shine through a little bit there, too? All right. Another quick break. Stand by.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Linda's theory is I do a better radio show when I am pissed off and angry. I don't want to be in a state of pissed offness and anger all the time. I think you can be a good talk show host, and I think my longevity's kind of proven that you can be yourself and you don't have to be pissed off all
the time. I know, I've been here 20 years. I know, I've been irritating you a very long time. I've gotten very good at it.
You're very good at it, but it's not something to be proud of.
Oh, thank you.
You should not want to brag about annoying and irritating me with your disapproval. Mm-hmm.
And somehow, yes,
way of saying, I disapprove with the boss's decision. That's what that means.
No, it's because
does
I'm
Does Anthony
irritated.
Have to put up with this? I just have a question.
No, I get it all out on you.
You don't him at home.
Nope.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, I've been buying precious metals. Somebody gave me great advice. I'm so grateful every day that I did, and I've been doing it for decades. Every paycheck I get, no matter what, I put aside a portion of money to diversify into precious metals. Now, especially during uncertain times, remember the 2008 financial crisis. Who do I choose to make my gold and silver purchases with? What company do I now use? Who do I trust? Well, I've been partnering with a great company for 3 years. I am a customer. The company's called Gold Co. Gold Co. will send you right now a free 2025 gold and silver kit to learn more about diversifying with precious metals. Now, this kit from Gold Co. has been a huge help to me. I think you'll learn a valuable lesson. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. Now, you're not going to want to miss out. All you have to do is call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-GOLD, or go to the website HannityGold.com.
Fox rocks.
I'm Michelle Paluno. Just days after what's being called his final live performance in Birmingham, Ozzy Osbourne has announced his second memoir, Last Rites, set for release October 7th. The 76-year-old metal icon will reflect on his emotional return to the stage during the Back to the Beginning concert, which raised a reported $200 million for charity, as well as a series of devastating health issues that have limited his mobility over the past 7 years. Last Rites promises a raw, darkly funny look at his physical decline, along with never-before-told stories about his marriage to Sharon, wild nights with rock legends like Slash, Bon Scott, John Bonham, and Keith Moon. And the Deftones will release their first album in 5 years on August 22nd. Private Music is an 11-track effort that showcases the band's enduring sound nearly 40 years into their career. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
The only big topics, big ideas, Big Sky, Montana Talks.
All right, we got a great 9 o'clock hour as well coming up for you here. We've got a couple of things coming up. First half of the 9 o'clock hour, Judge Dan Wilson, candidate for the Montana Supreme Court. He's going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. Join us for the first half of the show. Very much looking forward to catching up with him. Of course, he's one of the sons of Montana. Running for the Montana Supreme Court last year. One of those sons is now the Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court. Corey Swanson. So now it's time to get the other son across the finish line here next year. So critical, so crucial. And then an incredible story, an incredibly inspiring story. You guys know the rodeo great J.R. Vizane. Becky Hillier is going to join us for a really incredible story, and J.R. Vizane is going to call into the show as well later on in the 9 o'clock hour. So that's going to be a great hour coming up for you. Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, such a nice surprise to have you on the show this 8 o'clock hour. Man, you can call in anytime, and we can go for an hour, or we can just sneak you on for 2 minutes. Your call. But let me see here. Well, let's see. I had some great messages come in following yesterday's show where we were talking about why the flag matters and the significance of the flag. Chase in Opheim made a great point, and somehow I missed his message yesterday, but he was talking about, look, a flag on a public building should represent all of the people. And this was in reference to the pride flag down in Bozeman. And about how that doesn't even represent all or even most of the people, and just how divisive it is. Because, the caller yesterday who was like, well, who cares about a flag anyway, was trying to say, well, you know, the city of Bozeman, it's about freedom. They're free to fly whatever flag they want. Well, yeah, you as an individual, yeah, fly whatever flag you want. Nobody's saying you can't fly whatever flag you want here. But that flag over our government buildings should be something about that unites all of us, and that flag, which so many sacrificed for, the great American flag.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and we talk about all the brave men and women who have died for that flag, who have died for our freedom. People have to remember the horrific struggle that this country went with to obtain its freedom, and the everyday struggle we still have to keep it. And, you know, it's, we get complacent for, you know, just a few years, and it slips out of our hands. And, you know, people, that's the symbolism of the American flag. And ironically enough, that is why a rainbow flag can be flown in this country without, you know, the government coming to your door and harming you or murdering you, which happens in some countries. And so I get frustrated when people don't understand that American flag allows there to be a rainbow flag. It is the reason. It is the very, you know, it is the very symbol for why it's even allowed to be displayed in our country. It's
That's
because
right.
You're free to do it. And the irony of that is, you know, huge. Hey, real quick, I didn't know you had beat Judge Dan Wilson coming on at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Totally endorsed that guy. He was on my podcast last year. He did amazing. He really understands the law. He really understands the process. Just a great human being.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, he's going to be with us. Yeah, I'll have to go back. I missed that podcast episode of yours. So I'll have to go back and check that one out because you have a great podcast. Well, and Judge Wilson was the judge who stood up for freedom and our constitutional rights during COVID-19, just like you and 36 other sheriffs across Montana. That was so huge. It was the sheriffs and people like Judge Wilson that stood for freedom during that craziness.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm very confident he's going to win that election. He'll be a great fit on the Montana Supreme Court.
All right. Sheriff Slaughter, great to have you on the show. Thanks for all your time this morning.
All right, Judge Wilson, hi.
Yep, and give our best to your deputies. Tell them thanks for all they do and all the administrative staff as well. Judge Dan Wilson coming up. Wilson! Coming up right after this, after the Fox, well, or whoever does your national news update here. Gavin's got a gun. Whole world's come undone. Yeah, you heard me right. Gavin Newsom just got his first gun. You got to see the video of this guy. He's like, what am I holding here? It's like the most awkward guy trying to hold a gun video you've probably seen in a long time. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com, plus a whole bunch of Montana content, including all of the growing conflicts between Montanans and grizzlies as they remain on the endangered species list for some stupid reason.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.